Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Today's show, we are going to be discussing line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website cover that. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Fantasy Freeway presented by the Red Light Sports Network and sponsored by Cover That Spread. In today's show, we will be discussing fantasy football strategy, salary cap, trends, predictions, and anything else relevant to help you win your season-long or weekly fantasy games. For more information on fantasy sports, go to the redlightsportsnetwork.com fantasy page and always play responsibly.
I am your co-host, Boyo Trotovic, joined by the marvelous J.A. And you know what, J.A.? Had technical difficulties moving the opening of the spread since we're sharing a studio with Fantasy Freeway. So we know for next time that we just have to play Fantasy Freeway opening. But hey, hearing your voice in the music twice is not a bad thing. So how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. You know, maybe we just need to think about turning off the automatic opening feature and manually doing it every week. You know, get our hands.
Now you're putting a lot of pressure on me. I may have to turn over the studio responsibilities to you if that's the case. Because honestly, when it started, I was looking at the DraftKings lineup. Then I started hearing the spread. Then I had to go back. Then it wouldn't flip over. So it just, you know what? That's just the way it goes. It's all crazy. It's crazy night because DraftKings is actually operating NFL preseason football, J.A. I know we're going to talk about running backs for a season-long fantasy league, best running backs, who we think is going to have a good year, who we think we should stay away from. But this is crazy, and I wanted to talk about it tonight because I'm playing it. Now, I'm only playing in the quarter league. I've done three games, three lineups, and I play – for a quarter, but you could win 100. So I wanted to talk a little bit tonight, maybe for 5-10 minutes. How do you set a preseason lineup for DraftKings? J.A., I'm going to let you take it away because it's crazy. You don't know which starters are going to play, how long they're going to play, which backups are going to play. Is a team going to run? Is a team going to pass? You have no idea what's going to happen tonight.
Well, you know, I don't really know, and I'd like to say that I have a strategy, but I honestly have not done a preseason league before, and a lot of it is because I have very little interest in the preseason. I've tried betting it before, and some guys say it's a great way to make a lot of money and everything. You know, you really have to go deep on rosters to be able to do this, and you also have to kind of have a little bit of insight on a team and what they're trying to figure out what they're trying to work on, because there's been some really good, for example, second or third string running backs that you expect to really be tearing it up in the preseason, and because the team doesn't want to put anything on film or because the team wants to work on other things, you know, that guy kind of gets passed over late in the game when you're expecting him to get a lot of carries. So, you know, there's a couple different ways to approach it. I hope that we get some people calling in that maybe have done this before that can give us a little insight. But, you know, my thinking about it is going with some of the better backups that you know are going to get some playing time. Like we saw in week one where Matt Asiata and I believe it was McKinnon on Sunday for the Vikings got a lot of carries. We saw them get a lot of touches. So, you know, there's definitely guys you can target. I think it takes a lot of information on each team and kind of knowing a team's strategy and history in the preseason to know how to be successful doing this.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you one thing. Even that, knowing the good backups, and you got to look for the position battles. At least that's the way I approached it tonight. So there's six games tonight, and I was looking, where are the competition battles going on? Quarterback Washington. Watching NFL Network, RG3 is going to play about a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half, and you're like, oh, that doesn't seem like a lot. But in the preseason, that is a lot of reps for a quarterback. Now, if you wanted to go to the New England game tonight, Garoppolo is going to play an awful lot because they need to get him some work in case Tom Brady's suspended. And then you also have another quarterback situation where Johnny Manziel in Cleveland is the number two guy, but he's supposedly supposed to play a half of football. So you want to take a look at those things and try to figure out where can I get the most points. The guy that's supposedly going to play the most football tonight, from what I've heard so far, J.A., is Bryce Petty from the Jets, because their starter is nursing a broken jaw and they can't afford to lose Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I don't know when the last time you've said you can't afford to lose Ryan Fitzpatrick was, but Bryce Petty is supposed to get most of the snaps tonight. However, this kid has had a horrid camp. So if you take him in DraftKings and he tosses you four interceptions, not going to be good for what you're looking for. But on the flip side, he is playing the most, could have the most attempts, could have the most yards, might throw a touchdown or two. So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is take a chance, roll on the starters and see if they can get you, you know, 6 for 9, 80-some yards and a touchdown, and hope that that's enough points to place. You know, that's the other thinking. Running back-wise, you know, Jay, I'm going to throw this in there because I've actually done some research, and I've actually put together a nice little lineup, I think. Dallas has a number of injured running backs. I don't know if you followed the Cowboys, Jay. I know you're not a big preseason guy, but their top three running backs are out. They're starting a free agent called Gus Johnson tonight, and then they have another guy. They have, like, two healthy running backs. So my suggestion, take a Dallas Cowboy running back. They're probably going to get some carries. In Detroit, Abdullah from Nebraska has been impressive. I would imagine he's going to get some carries tonight. However, it's against a good New York Jet defense. However, he's probably going to be playing against the second teamers. And then the other thing is, I took a look at the depth chart, and I looked at where are some number three guys that are going to be playing in the second half of these football games, because they're going to get up to slop yards and the slop points. So I know that you're not voiced, and I threw you on the spot tonight, but when you're looking at the wide receiver position, J.A., in the preseason, I mean, I don't even know if you've taken a look at the schedule. Is there anybody out there that you think you might want to play tonight in the preseason in one of these crazy DraftKings leagues?
I'm taking a look right now at some of the guys that are out there. I was actually looking at Friday, fortunately, because I don't know what date it is. But let's take a look at some of the receivers we've got. You know, we were pretty positive, and we talked about them last week with the different Green Bay receivers that are out there. And, we, you know, obviously we were talking about more of the top-tier guys, but you know they're going to get a lot of work for the guys lower on the depth chart. So we could see a guy like Javis Blue, or, you know, maybe even Davante Adams, just because, you know, he's, what, maybe fourth on their depth chart right now, third or fourth on their depth chart. He may stay out there a little longer just to help these young guys out, since he's a little more familiar with the system. You know, a guy like that, you could see ending up getting covered by a undrafted free agent and making some noise out there in the secondary. So, you know, I think he's a really good guy to target. You had mentioned the possibility of Johnny Manziel going late into this game today, or playing a lot into this game. I think that's going to help out some of the Cleveland receivers. They're going against a Washington defense that was really bad last year. So when you start looking at the lower guys on Cleveland's roster, I'm talking about like a Taylor Gabriel, who actually played a decent amount over the last couple of years. You know, he's got a chance to put up some decent numbers because, again, it's very possible he's going to be in some garbage time situations playing against some garbage time Redskins cornerback. So that's the kind of guys that I'm looking at this evening. You know, if you want to roll the dice with one of those top-tier guys and say maybe this is the night he catches that touchdown on the opening drive, by all means, go for it. But, you know, I think I would be wanting to try to find that guy down at the bottom of the depth chart and see who catches 70 yards and a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the nice thing about the roster, Jay, is that the salary is all $5,500. So there's no concern about salary tonight. The thing is, you just have to try to figure out who's going to get the most playing time, who's going to get the most points. And so I like what you're saying about the Green Bay receivers, and actually in one of my leagues, I actually have Davante Adams, Ty Montgomery, and Jeff Janis. And you look at it, they're going to still pass. Green Bay is a passing team because after James Stark and Eddie Lacy, you have Neal at running back. And the Green Bay Packers have a good starting offensive line. They're searching for depth. I'm not sure, and we're going to answer this tonight on the Ramble after the game. I'm not sure what the Packers have behind their starting five offensive linemen, Jay. So I kind of feel bad for Mr. Neal when he gets in the game, because I'm not sure what that offensive line is going to provide him. But wide receiver-wise, I think you really got to take a look at a lot of these teams, and you have to look at the battles. Another great battle that I was reading about is in New Orleans, where they're trying to find some backup receivers behind Colston and Cooks. And the big battle there is Nick Toon and Brandon Coleman. So if those two are battling for that number three position or number four, they're probably going to see a lot of playing time tonight and could be on the field. So those are two guys that you might want to target. Now, whether or not they get targeted, whether or not they get catches, you know, we don't know what the game plan is going to be, but that's one of the competition battles there. There's another one going on in Baltimore. I know they drafted Perriman, but he's not playing tonight. And so the other guy out there, and I throw a name out there for everyone if you're listening live, is Kamar Aiken. They have high hopes for Kamar Aiken, so they may leave him on the field a little bit longer. But again, Jay, we don't know what these coaches are thinking. And you know as well as I do that if the coach feels that one of their starting players is at any risk, he's off the field. He's off the field in a heartbeat. And so it's just interesting. I wanted to throw it out there. I saw it this week that NFL was back for DraftKings. And my, oh my, it is one of those where you could go in and just blindfolded pick a bunch of guys. But, you know, as far as strategy, if you know your teams, if you've been following the training camp and you know the battles, those are the guys that I would look at. You know, any last thoughts on the DraftKings, Jay? Anything else to add after what I said?
No, you're right on. Use your own knowledge of your own teams that you follow and profit by it.
Well, and that's the thing. I put a lot of Green Bay Packers in my lineup because I know these guys are probably going to get some time. And so that means, you know, since I did play Davante Adams, you kind of stole my thunder. I didn't want to say anything, but I have Davante Adams in one of my leagues. I think he's going to play a little bit because Ty Montgomery, their third-round draft pick, is really having an impressive camp. And not only is he a special teams guy, they're talking about him actually taking some snaps and catches away from Davante Adams. And Davante Adams, to me, is a guy that's going to have a breakout year. I think this kid's going to be a stud. And they're talking about a rookie coming in and pressing. So there could be a battle, and they could put Adams and Montgomery on the field at the same time. So that might not be a bad combo to have during your DraftKings league. But with that said, let's get to the main topic tonight, Jay, and I'll turn it back over to you. We're going to talk running backs tonight, and this league has become a pass-first, run-second league. But I still think there's some value in running backs, and let's grade out and let's talk about who we think is worthy of a first-round draft pick if you're in a season-long fantasy league.
Well, you hit it right on the head where, yeah, it is turning into more of a passing league, but that really makes it way more important to make sure you're getting that running back that you need, because you're not going to be able to survive late in the season if you have a guy who's splitting carries 50-50, or, you know, hopefully you don't have the guy who's getting the lesser of the carries, lesser of the the touches out on the field. So I think there is a lot of value that is that needs to be addressed with the running back position. It's not like the receivers where you can kind of find a guy week to week to maybe, you know, get off the waiver wire. For the most part, there's not going to be a whole lot of action out there unless there's a major injury that someone needs to replace. So, you know, drafting this position is very important. I think it is worth a higher first round or even, you know, maybe even a number one pick, because you have to make sure you get this position locked down before you start moving away. Now, when we look at some of the top tier guys on the list, you know, Le'Veon Bell had a great season last year. 8 touchdowns isn't a whole lot, though, to be getting from a guy. Yeah, he did have 3 more receiving as well, so 11 touchdowns total. But when you start looking at the touchdown totals of the guys up on the top of the list, you know, that is kind of low. C.J. Anderson only had 10. Matt Forte only had 10. LeSean McCoy only had 5 total touchdowns last year. So, yeah, the yards are nice. The yards, are, I think, are a little more consistent than the scores from time to time. But you've got to really make sure you're getting a guy who is putting up the big points, not just getting a lot of yards from week to week. So when we start looking at the list here, you know, we talked a lot last week with the wide receiver position about the guy that broke out last year probably isn't the best guy to be going after this year, because there's going to be a lot of changes. You're going to have defenses zoning in on him a lot more, and most likely they're not going to be able to repeat their success. So let's start off with Le'Veon Bell right now. He's projected number one overall by ESPN, and last season he had 272 fantasy points. This year he's projected at 208.5. I liked Le'Veon Bell last year. I liked what the Steelers were able to do offensively last year. But looking at it this year, this is a very good team that I think is kind of going to have a step back offensively. They're not going to be able to produce like they did last year, because teams are going to approach them a lot differently. It's just not going to be the same Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown show. So, you know, Bell's a guy that if I'm picking really high in the draft, I'm probably going to be a little cautious picking him. Eddie Lacy, he's right up there. He's projected at 1,298 yards, 9 touchdowns, 3 receiving touchdowns. He's going to be a part of their passing game. We know that. So is Bell. So are a lot of these guys at the top of the list. I think Lacy's a better play. I think he's a better pick going into this draft. And we talked a lot about their receivers last week, but we've seen the last 2 years now, when Green Bay needs to get their running game going, they get it going, and they go all in. And it is all in with Eddie Lacy. So that's why I really like the Lacy play this year. It's going to be his 3rd season, so we're looking for him to really take that big step into one of the top-tier running backs in the league. Some of the other guys that I really like, and I'm really surprised that he's all the way down at number 8, and this kind of goes against what I was saying before, where guys with their big breakout years, but DeMarco Murray, he is in such a different offense this year. Yes, he almost had 400 carries last season. He had an additional 57 receptions. He went over 2,200 all-purpose yards and had 13 touchdowns. The things that Chip Kelly does with his offense and the way that Chip Kelly is able to use his running backs and be very efficient in the way he uses his running backs, I think is going to really benefit DeMarco Murray. They are projecting him to only have 255 carries, but his average stay the same. I actually think his average of 4.7, he's going to improve on that this year. I'm expecting him to be around 5, maybe even like 5.2 yards per carry. Probably 255 rushing attempts is probably about right, but that's really going to stretch the amount of yards he has, being a lot more efficient. And this Eagles offense is dangerous. There are a lot of guys that they have the ability to get the ball. DeMarco Murray is going to be a star again this season. And if anything is going the way that people are kind of starting to draft and starting to view him, you may be able to get DeMarco Murray late in the first round. I think that would be a steal.
Yeah, you brought up some good points, Jay. DeMarco Murray, the one thing you look at with him, and he's, you know, when you look at different fantasy lists, I'm looking at ESPN's list. They have him eighth. And part of that reason, I think, is Chip Kelly. You're not sure what Mr. Chip Kelly is going to do over there in Philadelphia. But with the DeMarco Murray, a guy that can catch the ball to the backfield and run the ball, I thought they were going to do a lot more with LeSean McCoy last year that way. But apparently we found out after McCoy's been shipped away that there was probably some beef between Kelly and McCoy. And so that could have been a reason why we didn't see a big dose of LeSean McCoy, because honestly, Jay, I thought LeSean McCoy was a perfect fit for that Chip Kelly offense. DeMarco Murray, a little bit different because he is a big physical running back, but I think that he is going to have a good year. I don't think he's going to repeat what he did last year in Dallas, but I could see DeMarco Murray getting some catches out of the backfield. However, I'm still a little leery about taking DeMarco Murray in the first round myself because I don't know what Chip Kelly's going to do. Is it going to be a revolving door at running back again? I don't know. You don't think that he'd pay all that money to do that, but then again, it's Chip Kelly, and there's no figuring out Chip Kelly. I can't disagree with you on Eddie Lacy. This guy just continues to improve. And that Packer offensive line, in my mind, Jay, is one of the most underrated lines in the NFL, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a Packer guy. I'm saying it because it's fact. That Packer offensive line, when healthy, that front five, is darn good. Now, where they get in trouble is if anybody goes down with injury, they don't have a lot of depth. But the starting five, in my mind, is very good. If the Cowboys could ever figure out what they're doing and when they figure out who their starting running back is, I'm throwing this out here, not as a first rounder. If the Cowboys can figure out who their starting running back is and get somebody healthy, whoever that is, I definitely might take a chance on that running back late in the draft, J.A., fifth, sixth round, because they do have, in my mind, probably the best offensive line in the NFL. So there's going to be some holes. We know that Garrett likes to run the ball, and so you just have to figure out who is the healthy running back, and if you can get that Cowboys starter in the fifth or sixth round, I think that's a steal. I also want to talk about Le'Veon Bell. You know, you talk about his touchdown production, Jay, but this is legitimately a guy that could get you 6 to 8 catches out of the backfield and 100 yards rushing every game. I think he's worth a first-round pick. I think that Steeler offense is right on pace with Green Bay. I think both of those, AFC and NFC, I think you're looking at the top two offenses. So Le'Veon Bell plays an important role in the Steeler offense the way that Eddie Lacy plays an important role in Green Bay's offense. And we saw last year that McCarthy, and even though he's not calling the plays this year, we're trying to get Eddie Lacy involved in the passing game and getting him some receptions. So hands down, my top two running backs are Bell and Lacy. And then, of course, you have Adrian Peterson that's there. The Vikings with Bridgewater have a formidable quarterback, a good young quarterback who's getting better. And Adrian Peterson can maybe take some pressure off of him, but it can also maybe help Adrian Peterson if Bridgewater can beat defenses when they're putting 7, 8 guys in the box to stop Peterson. If Bridgewater can start completing passes, they're not going to be able to stack the box on Peterson. You could see Adrian Peterson, Jay, this year have a great season if Teddy Bridgewater continues to grow and can prove that he can beat a defense when they stack the box against Peterson. What are your thoughts on that Peterson comment? Do you think he'd go for 2,000 this year, Jay?
You know, when you look at a guy coming off a non-injury year off, essentially, you've got to like him coming in fresh. You've got to like everything that he's bringing to the table. I don't see it happening. And the biggest reason I don't see it happening is because I do feel that he is on the decline slightly. You know, he's at 30 already. He has over 2,000 rushes, career touches, or career carries. No team is going to let Adrian Peterson beat them this year. That's going to be the biggest challenge, because they're going to make Teddy Bridgewater do the work. They're going to make him be the one to go out there. Now, we did see AP run for 2,000 yards a few years ago, and what was – I don't even remember who the quarterback was. Was that Matt Castle? Was that – insert another terrible quarterback's name here. I mean, I don't remember who his quarterback was when he ran for 2,000. I don't see him being able to replicate it this year, and that's more just because I think everybody is going to want to watch Bridgewater make plays and potentially make mistakes as opposed to let Adrian Peterson run them over on a weekly basis.
And see, part of me right there, Jay, is where I disagree with you just a little bit, because I think Bridgewater is the real deal. And I'm going to go this way. If they're going to shut down Peterson and let Bridgewater beat them, then they're going to lose. I like what I saw out of Bridgewater, and honestly, as a Packer fan, I don't like it. I don't like seeing Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota, because he is, to me, a very good quarterback. He can make the throws. He can extend the pocket. And if teams are going to just try to shut down Adrian Peterson, I think Bridgewater can beat him. Now, wide receiver-wise, that is to be determined in Minnesota. I know they traded for Mike Wallace, but ever since Wallace left Pittsburgh, he's not been the same receiver. So the receivers need to step up for Bridgewater, but I like Bridgewater, J.A. I'm not saying that I may draft him as my fantasy quarterback when we talk about quarterbacks, but this is a young kid that I like that I think can win football games in Minnesota. And I know you're a Bear fan. That could be scary for the Bears and the Packers if Teddy Bridgewater and that Viking team can get it going, because I like that kid. Now, I asked a question about 2,000. I don't think he can run for 2,000 either, J.A., but I think Adrian Peterson is going to be a guy that's still going to be a solid back. Depending on where I would be picking in the first round and depending on how the draft was rolling out, like you said, having a valuable running back as a starter is going to be key in your league. And so depending on how the league rolls out, if I was drafting late in the first round and on the comeback somewhere in there, I would not be against taking Peterson late in the first round or on that comeback pick in the second round. That's where I have Adrian Peterson for myself personally, depending on my strategy as far as what I want to do, which I like the receivers. I want to look and make sure that I have the point production from receivers. So after I rate my receivers, I have to make a decision. If Peterson is there, but my top receiver is there, who do I go with? Where do you have Peterson in your mind going in the draft, Jay?
I have Peterson going in, well, for me personally, I have him going probably about where you do, late first, or right there on the turnaround, early second. I feel like he's going to go a lot higher, though. I think a lot of people are going to reach for him. Maybe that's because you play in leagues, I'm sure, as well as I do, where there's either Viking fans or where there's just a lot of people that play or are familiar with the NFC North. So I think a lot of people may kind of jump out and take him a little earlier than what I would be comfortable doing. I don't maybe see him in a top five situation, but I could see him definitely in those top eight slots. And I play, my one league is 14 teams. So, you know, my perception of a high first round is a little different than most people's. But Peterson, I think he's just going to go a little higher than I'm comfortable taking him. And that's fine for me, because he's a guy that I'm not too sure about. Although I do think he is going to get his, 1,200 yards by the end of the season if he stays healthy. He's just not a guy that I really want to count on, because I don't know how much I trust him at this point.
That's good insight. I want to throw a name out there. We're now in archive time, and so those that were listening live, make sure that you follow the archive, which will be up shortly after the show as I prepare to watch the Green Bay Packers tonight in preseason, JA. At least watch the first quarter. But I actually will probably watch this game because I'm interested in some of the secondary battles. But back to the topic on hand. Rookies. Which rookies are impressing you so far, J.A., that you might take a chance somewhere in this draft and have a rookie running back? And I'm going to throw this out there. I've never had a rookie running back in my fantasy league, ever. but I may take one this year, and you'll probably steal my thunder. There's one rookie running back that I have my eyes on that I really will target, but probably not till the middle rounds. So is there any rookies out there, J.A., that you think are worth taking, and where would you take them?
There are two guys I think that are worth taking in the first couple of rounds. Probably not first rounders, but in the first maybe second, third, fourth round if they're still on the board. The first guy that I like is T.J. Yeldon in Jacksonville. I love what he did in Alabama. I am really liking the situation he's coming into in Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville is interesting because they did bring Maurice Jones-Drew back, if I remember correctly, or did he end up announcing his retirement? I think he's on the roster right now. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did end up retiring, but I thought I saw he signed. And they also have Toby Gerhart, who was kind of a flop last year as a free agent. He may be on the outside looking in. Yeldon's coming into a good situation. The Jaguars signed Julius Thomas. They have the young quarterback. He looks like he's poised to maybe be that piece to kind of not necessarily get the Jaguars kick-started offensively, but he could be that guy that really gets, especially late in the season, as he starts to get more carries, he could be that building block that they're looking for in 2016 because, well, you know, I think everyone's in agreement. The Jaguars could be really improved this year, but they're still not going to win six games. They could be the most improved team and not win six games. So, you know, it's a lot of room to really grow there as the Jaguars running back. So I like Yeldon. The other guy, and I'm going to say that this would be my top-rated rookie for the running backs, that's Melvin Gordon, and I'm sure that stole your thunder because Mr. Wisconsin is, you know, he's in a very good spot in San Diego. You know they're going to run the ball. You know they're going to probably get him the ball in the passing game a little bit. I think the 197 receiving yards is probably a little low for a projection by ESPN. But I like Gordon. I like the spot that he's in. He's rated as the 16th overall running back going into the season. This guy could be top 10 because first, once the season starts, he's going to be the guy. He is going to be the guy unless something bad happens injury-wise or he starts fumbling the ball. But I don't think Gordon is going to do that. We have seen some issues with Wisconsin running backs coming out the last couple of years. That would be my only concern. That is my biggest thing that I would hold up and not draft him. But I think Gordon is the real deal, and I think he can be a difference maker for the Chargers.
Well, you didn't steal my thunder. You didn't steal my thunder, buddy. And I want to give some breaking news because I'm watching NFL Network, and it says Aaron Rodgers expected to play first quarter tonight. That could change my DraftKings. If Aaron Rodgers is playing the first quarter, Jay, I may take Aaron Rodgers in my DraftKings tonight because he may go out and just toss that ball around like there's no tomorrow. But
why?
I also wanted to mention Jones-Drew.
Why they would do that?
I don't know. That's what it said. But that's what it said. So I'm just letting you know, if you're playing DraftKings, Aaron Rodgers will play the first quarter tonight. Jones-Drew did retire, played in Oakland last year, but did retire after nine seasons. You did not steal my thunder with Melvin Gordon. You did not steal my thunder. I like Melvin Gordon. I think he is in a good situation in San Diego, but I think there's a running back, another Big Ten running back, that is in a great situation, and he's having a great camp. And I'm actually playing him tonight in DraftKings. And you can get a steal from this guy. Now, you'll have to follow and see what happens. And depending on if he's named the starter or I think at some point he'll become the starter during the season. Amir Abdullah in Detroit, J.A., remember that name. I like the kid at Nebraska. I think he's a very good running back. And Detroit has been trying to figure out what to do at running back since a guy named Barry Sanders left. Now, I'm not saying Abdullah is a Barry Sanders, but they need to have some type of running game in Detroit. Right now they have Bell as the number one guy, and ESPN has Bell ranked number 20. And I think Abdullah, the way that he runs, and again, it's going to be based on the preseason, I think Abdullah can take over the starting role. What I've been reading this week following the NFC North is that Abdullah is impressing. He may get a number of carries tonight to see if he can do it in a game because camp and game situations are different. But I watch this kid being a Big Ten guy at Nebraska. I see Abdullah becoming the starter in Detroit. And so if he's there, and he very well should be, unless there's other people with my insight that are going to reach Adam in the third or fourth round, which I don't know if I'd go that high on him. But this is a guy that I think he could be the starter. And I know Detroit with Stafford and Johnson and the pass-happy offense they have, they still need to figure out how to run. And if Abdullah can run and give them 80 to 100 yards, I think you can have yourself a decent fantasy back in Abdullah. So that's my sleeper pick, Jay. What do you think of Abdullah?
I like Abdullah. I mean, we played him a lot last year down the stretch when we were setting our college weekly rosters. So I like Abdullah. You know, his size is a question. He's 5'9". But Joint Bell just has not, you know, for all the flashes of brilliance that he has, then he throws just drops the ball and puts it on the ground two or three times. So I think out of the guys that we've tossed out here, you know, Abdullah probably has the highest upside compared to what he's projected at. Because right now he's projected as a 500-yard running back that's going to score three touchdowns. I think that could be really low, and I think that's a really good selection because he's a guy at 38. If you're in an 18 league, I mean, that guy could be there, you know, maybe around 7th, 8th, 9th round easily before you even have to consider starting to wonder if you're going to be taking him or not.
Yeah, he's just a guy that I'm telling people, put on your radar, do your research on him. Again, you have to follow the Lions, and you have to see how that's going. But like Bell has not done anything in Detroit. And Detroit has not had a what I consider a number one running back, a guy to give the ball to and get 1,000 yards the traditional way for a long time. I think Abdullah is that guy. I really do. Just watching him in Nebraska and what he has done so far in camp, I'm rolling the dice. I picked him up tonight in the DraftKings, JA, so we'll see if he does anything. Looking at the time, we've got about 5 good minutes left on the show before the studio lady decides to say goodbye to us. So running back-wise, JA, when you're looking at this, is there anybody else out there that we haven't mentioned that people should put on the radar when they're doing their fantasy research?
Well, there's definitely some good battles. So we're early on. I mean, we haven't even seen a preseason game yet from every team. So it's really early. But one of the battles that I like is the one going on in Tampa Bay. You know, Doug Martin, he was projected to be a real high running back last year and got injured and fell well short of that. So, you know, he's probably a really bad example to use. But I feel that he could be a guy that could kind of turn the corner. We know that they have Jameis Winston now. We know they have the two big receivers on the outside. You know, they have to have a running back. And if Doug Martin has 750 yards and 5 touchdowns like he's projected, you know, you could get him low. And if you are making him as a situational guy that you play, or if you're playing daily fantasy and you just are picking and choosing the weeks to play him, I think Doug Martin could be a really good, valuable guy to have on your roster. I also think that with the upside potential of really there not being any other running backs, decent running backs on that roster, you know, Doug Martin could easily go for 1,100, 1,200 yards because, you know, with the rookie quarterback, especially early on in the season, I'm expecting Lovie Smith to want to win games or try to win games with defense and running the ball because that was what he was successful doing in his good years in Chicago. Another guy that I'm not quite sure where to go, and it's not even a guy. I'm just going to throw a team out there. After Arian Foster, how are you viewing the Houston Texans running back situation?
Not very good. I mean, Arian Foster, I mean, this is a guy you look at it and whoever's his backup is a guy that maybe you take late in the draft because Arian Foster does have some injury issues. But I'm not really sold too much on the Houston, you know, running back core outside of Foster in my mind. When I look at that, I'm more interested, J.A., in seeing what they're going to do in Cincinnati. And I know last year Jeremy Hill had a good year, but they were splitting times with their backs. And I know we didn't mention Jeremy Hill, so I wanted to – I know I kind of got off the subject of the Houston, but outside of Foster, I'm not sure if I would go with anybody from Houston unless it's late and maybe I need a backup. But I wanted to go back, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with Jeremy Hill. I know Cincinnati was splitting carries last year, but if they would give Jeremy Hill the brunt of the load, I think he could be a top 10 running back. The problem is we don't know if that's what they're going to do. What are your thoughts there, and what have you heard about Jeremy Hill in Cincinnati?
I'm really happy you brought that up because he was one of the guys I was looking at when we were looking more at the top of the list here. You know, when you look at the history of Hugh Jackson, who is the offensive coordinator for the Bengals, when he had a lot of success in Oakland, he was running a two and even a three-back system. So I want to say that McFadden had his best career as a pro under Hugh Jackson, but there was a lot of other rushing yards, a lot of other guys made money like Michael Bush and some other players because of what they were doing that season. So, you know, I think Cincinnati is all about keeping their running backs fresh. I don't think they want to wear any of them out. And we know that Giovanni Bernard is such a big component in the receiving game. So, you know, they want to get him out there on passing situations. And, you know, I don't want to say take them both any given week, but we did that a couple times last year where we kind of rolled the dice and said, hey, one of these guys is going to be big. There's a possibility that both of them are going to get in the end zone. Let's play them both. And I don't think that could be a bad strategy if you have a really good matchup with the Bengals. One other guy I wanted to throw back at you, Carlos Hyde, San Francisco. I think that entire team is a junk show right now. Do you think there's any value in him going as a top 15 fantasy running back?
No, none at all. That's a team that's going to be playing from behind. They're going to have to put the ball in the air, and I don't know what Carlos Hyde's going to do for them. I'm not even so sure that I'm sold on Carlos Hyde on any other team. I mean, he's had some bright moments, but I'm not a big Carlos Hyde fan, and being in San Francisco, that team to me right now is a mess, and I think it's going to be a long year in San Francisco. And I'm not sure if Carlos Hyde is a guy that I would even want to consider having on my roster, even as a fourth-string running back, because I don't see any value there. That's my thought there. What are your thoughts on San Francisco and Carlos Hyde?
You know, I think he could possibly be a guy later in the season that could have some fantasy value just because of the schedule that they have. But their early schedule this year is kind of tough. I would say pass on Hyde early and maybe see if he hits the waiver wire at some point or if he's available in a trade that could really benefit you late in the season.
Let's put it this way. If I had my choice between Todd Gurley and Carlos Hyde, I'm taking Todd Gurley because I know Jeff Fisher is going to try to run the ball. So I don't know what they're going to do in San Francisco. You got a brand new coach out there. You got a guy that unproven as a head coach and San Francisco and everything that's going on out there. I'm just not sold on the team. And one of my, and again, this is just personal thought, folks, and we're going to be cut off shortly here, is the team has to have some balance. And if you're winning a lot of ball games, you're probably having a decent running game. But if you're losing a lot of ball games, you're probably going to have to pass a lot. I know they can get Hyde involved in the passing game. I just don't like the play. So he's a guy that personally I'm staying away from. But, Jay, before the studio lady actually cuts us off and we can't end the show, I think we're going to end the show. It's been a great show, 45 minutes just like that. talking a little bit about DraftKings and the weird preseason and a bunch of running backs, and I think we threw a lot of names out there for people to take a look at. I think there's a lot of quality in this year's draft. Whether or not you want to go first round, that's up to you. But any last words quickly, J.A.?